Jimmy Ramirez lives in Ann Arbor, where he works for Google. The California native is part of a unique competition dubbed Crash the Parties. Two winners of the competition will get to report from the Democratic or Republican National Convention on the cable channel Fuse TV. Jimmy's the son of immigrants who lived and worked in California. A few years ago, he became temporarily homeless. He went on to become the first in his family to graduate from college. Jimmy Ramirez joins me now. Welcome to Current State, Jimmy.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Explain this competition for us. How did you become eligible for this chance to report from a political convention?
Yeah, so I've worked with Voto Latino, which is a organization focused on getting young Latino voters registered to vote for some time now. Followed them on Twitter. And they had this amazing competition to basically report from, like you said, from the DNC or RNC, and made a video at the Heidelberg Project in Detroit, and then kind of just put my story out there and then made top 10.
And who or what will determine the winners?
So the way the Rachel Maddow and a series of very, very prominent media personalities actually get to choose who gets to go.
Okay.
So it was a public voting process, and then once you make that leg of the race, then it goes on to a panel of judges.
And when do you get the word?
It is launched on Saturday, so okay. We find out Saturday.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how eager are you to win this competition?
A solid 10, but the competition is amazing and wouldn't be disappointed in anyone that they choose. So we get to see everyone else's videos, and my mom and I have actually been texting about the competition, and they're incredibly just competent and just incredible examples of our community.
A lot of the auditions, including Jimmy's, you'll find on YouTube or on the Fuse TV channel, Fuse TV website, I should say. Why are you so eager to win?
I really want to ask candidates about questions that affect low-income communities, and particularly low-income communities of color. My background prior to Google and some of the work I do outside of Google is actually working with homeless youth and youth experiencing homelessness. And we find particularly mostly these youth come from disparate backgrounds or are from communities of color. And so I do really just want to ask formative questions on how this population is getting the policy needs that they need to survive.
Now, you have the choice of covering the Democratic or Republican conventions if you win. You've already said you'll go to the Democratic event if you win. Why the Dems?
Correct. So I think that there's a series of robust conversations happening as far as how to help these particular communities happening at the DNC that are very, very much pushing the envelope on how we can help these communities. And so being there to ask and kind of reinforce that would just be something I would be honored to do.
You're a young guy. You've probably voted only once or twice for president, I imagine.
Yeah.
Have you voted Democratic?
Oh, yes. My first ballot actually was, my 18th birthday was for President Barack Obama in 2008. So
okay.
Kind of have a really stellar just voting history I get to tell my kids later.
Well, so have you thought about what developments or angles that you would cover at the convention if you win?
Yes, definitely understanding how we're preparing the next generation of Latino leaders. What are we doing to make sure that they are entering high-skill job force, particularly working at Google? I'm very, very interested in STEM and how we're getting, making future Latino engineers, like how is that happening? Making sure that, education is thought out for the future.
I'm talking with Jimmy Ramirez of Ann Arbor. Jimmy's a Google employee and one of 10 finalists for a chance to become an embedded reporter from either the Democratic or Republican national conventions next month. Jimmy's going to the Dem convention if he wins. This is a competition sponsored by the cable channel Fuse TV and the organization Voto Latino. There's an effort to unite the party right now and get Sanders supporters to throw their support behind Hillary Clinton, and it's a source of some tension here. That might make an interesting angle from the convention as well.
Exactly. I think we're seeing something fantastic within politics right now, and just the utter basis of democracy. We're having this exchange of ideas and what is best and what, you know, one, like with even within our party, what people are thinking is the next move. And I think that nothing but awesomeness and kind of great policy reforms can come out of this. I think the particularly Secretary Clinton's, you know, delegate win of delegates here just is absolutely phenomenal. Being the first female to have that many delegates is just incredible. I do think that that Senator Sanders' dialogue around certain issues have definitely pushed our party to think further.
Are you concerned at all about the unwillingness, perhaps, of some Sanders supporters to get behind Secretary Clinton?
No, I'm particularly interested in at the end of the day making sure that the candidate that the DNC puts up and the candidate that ultimately takes the White House is looking out for the future, right? Looking out for, and in my case, and in a lot of my reporting angle, low-income communities of color. And so can we equip that candidate with all the best resources to do so? Making sure that we can actually make that happen I have total faith in my party.
You're considering this an exciting opportunity because of your particular background to an extent, which is very interesting. Tell us about your family and the circumstances you grew up in.
Yeah, so my grandparents immigrated from Mexico. They were migrant laborers, so they picked, you know, everything from cotton to almonds to, you know, grapes in California. And they ended up migrating outside of San Francisco, where they had my parents, and then I'm a second-generation American. And just seeing their love for, you know, they came to this country for this idea of democracy and civic engagement and just working hard. And that has just been the ethos and what has allowed me to go from, you know, a public school in California to actually, you know, just having access to the fact that I'm in Michigan on this, you know, on this radio show. Unreal. Like having opportunities to work at Google or graduate from Georgetown really is what my grandparents came to this country for, and I feel like that resonates within the Latino community very much so.
You're living the dream, so to speak.
yes. And I think that one thing that, you know, and the one thing that is really important talking about the Latino community is that we are not a monolithic, you know, not everyone is a Democrat or a Republican. There's not really one kind of, we are not a one single issue community. And with that, I think that the American dream is at the epicenter of what it means to be a Latino voter and be part of this community. And, you know, different Latinos might interpret that in different ways, whether that be with, you know, the Republican Party or with the Democratic Party. We all have different interpretations.
The
American dream is at the center.
Do you think the media, do you think those of us in the media have dropped the ball to some extent and presented the Latino community as a monolithic community?
I think that in particular, I think that the 2008 election and the absolute, you know, inspiration that President Barack Obama brought and the voter turnout that had and just his overall ability to connect with millennials as well as, you know, voters of color, what has kind of, you know, spoken to this larger trend of, you know, you can win this community. But I do think that in particular the rhetoric around like in recent time have pushed the media to kind of dive into what the Latino community is actually thinking.
Mm-hmm. What particular challenges do you remember growing up as the son of migrant laborers in California? What was the biggest challenge there?
I think my community was pretty diverse, and it was just very apparent that walking into like AP level courses or courses that were more advanced, I was just perpetually the only person of color most of the time. And so being a person of color in these spaces has been particularly interesting. But I think that the value that I bring with my background, my story, my perspective have just been really just an ultimate strength, I guess, turning that struggle into a strength.
When your parents were working in the fields, I mean, did you work alongside them ever?
No. So to be clear, my parents, so my mom actually worked in a hair salon. So my grandparents.
It was your grandparents who were, okay, migrant workers. Okay.
Yeah, so a second generation American. My parents, so seeing my mom go from a hairstylist to, you know, cutting hair, supercuts, to being a paralegal, and then just us going to school together alongside one another, absolutely just awe-inspiring to see where my family has come, and I think it's indicative of how my community is progressing.
Your nuclear family, though, your mother and your sister and yourself, did become homeless for a spell. How did that unfold?
Correct. So during the 2008 recession, we had a home foreclosure, which forced us to kind of, the way my mom describes it beautifully, is the ship sank and we were all surfing. And so part of that, yeah. And one thing that, you know, about particularly youth homelessness is that homelessness itself, it doesn't indicate, you know, being on the street or, you know, literally, you know, or panhandling, as one image might say, like, you know, some of the images that come to mind. So I was a couch surfing youth, which meant I was really skilled at finding a lot of slumber parties to attend and a lot of friends who were kind enough to open up their homes. And during that process, actually, my school, it was really nice that my school actually found out, and my administration actually came together, figured out what's going on, and actually one of my teachers actually took me in. So wow. I did have a little bit of a stable period, but again, it wasn't my home. It wasn't picture frames that showed my family. It was, you know, surfing alone.
Yeah, couch surfing youth. How doubtful was it that you would be able to attend college?
Oh, my mom has, ever since I was younger, told me I was going to college. So that has always been part of my just life motivation, just like, you know, eat food, get ready for college. That was like always just my upbringing. I think that during, I was actually homeless during the application process for college. So if anyone's ever done that process, it's pretty stressful, but being, not having a stable home on top of that is tough, and not being able to pay for things like the SAT or prep or anything like that. So I actually took the SAT the last possible chance. I didn't have access to my Social Security card because, you know, you don't have to keep track of those things as a young person, let alone when you don't have a stable house. So it was tough to kind of, I didn't think, I thought I would go to community college beforehand and kind of figure it out from there, but my university was incredibly understanding, incredibly helpful in that process.
And that was Georgetown University, we'll point out. So despite your couch surfing youth, you never lost your focus of attending college. I want to close. We're just about out of time. I want to ask you one more question here. You've alluded to the what you dislike about the broader national conversation involving immigration and undocumented immigrants. What should America's policy be? What would you like to say about what America's policy should be toward undocumented people who are here illegally?
I think that the conversation and the narrative right now is that that it's missing the inherent, like the innate strength and asset that our community, like that, you know, being from a mixed status family and coming from grandparents who are formerly undocumented and having relatives who are undocumented. We are a strength. We are an asset, and I think that that's often neglected to understand how our economy functions, and understanding that, you know, like we bring something. So, you know, I've done work in, like, for example, in Immokalee, Florida. A lot of those who are on a temporary work program who actually produce our food, right? And so I think that just most of, I don't have like a sweeping policy, you know, that's going to fix everything, this robust system in one day. But I think as far as coverage and thinking about it, like, let's think about the strengths this community is bringing before we villainize or do anything similar to that.
Jimmy Ramirez is a Google Ann Arbor employee and one of 10 finalists for a chance to become an embedded reporter from the Democratic or Republican national conventions. This is a competition, Crash the Parties, sponsored by the cable channel Fuse TV and the organization Voto Latino. Jimmy, we'll be watching. I hope you win. Thanks for talking
with
us.
Thank you. Thanks so much.